mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the measles outbreak that has taken hold in other states has now reached Ohio, with the first case reported late last week as nearby as Allen County. We'll speak with the vice president of the Partnership to Fight Infectious Disease about the attitudes toward public health that are driving it. Also this morning, the Findlay Municipal Court's annual Safe Surrender Day event happens next week. It's another chance to take the weight of an unresolved legal issue off your shoulders. And in our community and business spotlight this morning, Open Arms Domestic Violence and Rape Crisis Services is highlighting the importance of recognizing Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, March 32nd, 2025.
You see what I did there, right? Tuesday, March 32nd. I crack myself up sometimes. It is April 1st, obviously, the April Fool's Day. You don't want to fall for anything. What is the dumbest April Fool's joke that you have ever fallen for? I really appreciate the creativity. I get got quite often because it's tough, especially for those, you know, in the media that we don't want to make sure that we don't, you know, report anything bogus, and we don't get taken in by an, but it's tough because sometimes you've got legitimate news sources that you trust who are in fact pulling a fast one on you, and sometimes these things, you know, make it onto the air. Do you remember a few years ago? This is one of my favorite April Fool's jokes. And the University of Findlay announced plans to build a monorail to help get students around to their classes on campus. remember when they made that announcement? I thought that was a pretty clever one, and generated some headlines. I was trying to remember when that was, how many years ago that was, that the University of Findlay pulled that gag. And so I looked it up. And, of course, you do any internet search these days, and artificial intelligence, you know, gives you a response. And so Google says on April 1st, 2014, it was 2014, so it's been more than 10 years ago now. And I still remember this gag. On April 1st, 2014, the University of Findlay announced plans to build a monorail transportation system on campus. And then the AI chatbot goes on to say, because the announcement was made on April 1st, it is possible that the monorail system was never built. It is possible. it was never built. So artificial intelligence even not really sure about it. And then sometimes it's actually the media outlet itself that is pulling a fast one. One of the most famous examples of an April Fool's joke that was perpetrated by the media, by a reputable news organization, it was in 1957. The BBC, I don't know if you've ever heard this story, the BBC in 1957 aired a report claiming that due to a mild winter, spaghetti farmers in Switzerland were enjoying a bumper crop. They were harvesting, spaghetti growers in Switzerland were enjoying a bumper crop. And they aired this report in all seriousness during their newscast. They even had video, they had film of farmers in Switzerland pulling spaghetti, harvesting spaghetti off of these spaghetti trees. And what contributed to making this hoax work was the fact that apparently in 1957, spaghetti was not a real popular dish in Great Britain. And so a lot of people actually phoned and wrote to the BBC wondering, you know, how can we get advice on growing our own spaghetti trees? Still to this day remains a legendary hoax perpetrated by a news outlet. There have been others over the years. Don't fall for anything today. I thought this was an April Fool's joke when I first saw it, but apparently this is real. There is a viral trend these days that has people dunking their face in cold water first thing in the morning, not just to wake them up, but apparently this is purported to be healthy for you, to submerge your face in cold water first thing in the morning. The University of Ottawa in Canada actually has researched this now, and they found that cold plunges can indeed actually help your body shift from emergency mode to focusing on self-repair. They asked a number of young men to submerge themselves in cold water for an hour for 1 week, and they found that the cells rewired their responses in this short amount of time. And the author of the study for the University of Ottawa says cold exposure might help prevent disease and potentially even slow down aging at the cellular level. And you do it's the same principle that athletes will do an ice bath. It's the same kind of principle, but you don't have to fully immerse your body in a freezing ice bath for cells to shift into repair and protect mode. Gradually exposing oneself to cold water. You could do this through swimming or take a cold shower, a cool shower. Could trigger these positive adaptations as well. So apparently, if you've heard about this trend, there is some science behind it. I thought it was an April Fool's joke at first, but apparently it is absolutely real. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day on this April 1st. Baseball season underway. The most popular jersey in Major League Baseball, the reigning National League MVP, Shohei Ohtani, sits atop the rankings as the best-selling jersey among fans since the end of the World Series in October. And as a matter of fact, there are four Dodgers, including Ohtani, in the top 10. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Mets star Juan Soto ranked third. New York Yankees star Aaron Judge took fifth. And the rest of the top 10 includes Francisco Lindor, Bryce Harper, Jose Altuve, and Ronald Acuna Jr., the Atlanta Braves. So those are the top-selling baseball jerseys. Just thought that was kind of interesting. Let's see. Did you hear about this? And again, not an April Fool's joke. This is actually true. A southern magnolia tree on the grounds of the White House that is rumored to have been planted by Andrew Jackson all the way back in the 19th century will soon be coming down, and a new tree will be planted in its place. President Trump said that the tree is unfortunately in terrible condition and poses a safety hazard. He did point out that the wood from the tree would be preserved and will be used for other purposes. So I don't know if they're going to donate it, you know, what have you, build an end table in the White House. I don't know. But this magnolia tree is going to be taken down. A post from the National Park Service explains that according to folklore, President Jackson planted the tree to honor his late wife, who passed away in 1829. But there is some question about the veracity of that claim, because Andrew Jackson's presidency ended in 1837, and while the first photo of the White House wasn't taken until 1846, the tree in question only begins to appear in photographs around 1860, which is long after Jackson's presidency ended. So photos up until 1860 don't show the tree. You would think that it would if Andrew Jackson had planted it some, you know, 30 years prior. So the belief is that it was actually planted later. But folklore, the legend has it, Andrew Jackson planted the tree himself. But it's coming down. It won't matter here in a month or two because they are taking the tree down. Let's see. And that's not the first time that's happened. I mean, there are a lot of, there are a number of trees that have been taken down on the White House lawn that have historical significance, quote unquote, historical significance. This is just the latest there. And this I thought was kind of interesting. I'm going to share this story real quick. I love this. Something to think about as you're getting up and heading to work this morning. Apparently, more and more young adults are getting into the trend of micro-retirements. Micro-retirements, they call it. Instead of working for 40 years and then, you know, enjoying your golden years, right? Which is the traditional career track. Micro-retirements describe taking a career pause before you get to retirement age. A break in your career, which allows workers to develop hobbies, complete trainings, further their careers, perhaps, or just enjoy some time off. Now, we're not talking about a sabbatical. Sabbaticals are typically sponsored by workplaces themselves to give people some time off, extended time off. More and more Gen Zers are actually terminating their employment in order to enjoy this micro-retirement. Unfortunately, job experts say this carries some risk because it can impact your future earnings and your personal savings, obviously, your hireability if employers see big gaps on your resume of unemployment. So, you know, it carries some risk, but a lot of people are doing micro-retirements. Interesting. There you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny today with a high in the middle 40s, becoming mostly cloudy tonight, low around 40. Area police departments, including the Findlay Police Department, wore mourning bands on Monday in memory of fallen Bluffton police officer Dominic Francis. Officer Francis was hit and killed by a fleeing vehicle while he was deploying spike strips on southbound I-75 on March 31, 2022. Officer Francis served with the Findlay Police Department and the Hancock County Sheriff's Office before joining the Bluffton Police Department, where he served the community for 11 years. A stretch of Interstate 75 that goes through Bluffton was renamed the Officer Dominic Francis Memorial Highway. Signs are located at mile marker 139 northbound and 143 southbound. As a measles outbreak spreads across Ohio, doctors say the best way to protect yourself and your family is through vaccination.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends getting the first dose at 12 to 15 months and the second at 4 to 5 years. Here are some tips on what to do if your unvaccinated child has been exposed to the virus.
Talk to your doctor because especially if your child has underlying health conditions and they're not immunized.
If you're exposed, your doctor's office and county health department will start contact tracing to make sure everyone you've interacted with is safe.
ONN's Bryn Caswell reporting. Findlay Mayor Christina Mern has announced that Findlay and Hancock County will partner with DoorDash to support the local business community through its Accelerator for Local Businesses program.
Through this program, businesses can apply to be a part of a development program connecting them to local resources and allowing them a $5,000 grant from DoorDash to help grow their business.
The mayor says the Accelerator for Local Businesses program will offer Findlay and Hancock County entrepreneurs with mentorship, professional programming, and funding to grow stronger businesses. We have more details on the program and a link to the application in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Outbreaks of measles around the country have been one of the top health-related stories in the news this spring, and now it has reached Ohio. Candace DeMatteis is Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Partnership to Fight Infectious Disease. And Candace, to put it quite bluntly, this is clearly and unequivocally the result of several years of widespread vaccine skepticism and resistance, is it not? I mean, measles is something that we really should be having zero cases of in 2025, right?
That's right. 25 years ago in the year 2000, measles was declared eradicated from the United States because of widespread vaccination had dropped the rates to minimal cases.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't be talking about outbreaks then. But sadly, 25 years later, despite all that progress, here we are.
So I just want to establish that as fact, first and foremost. This is not an experimental vaccine. It is not a dangerous vaccine. To the extent that there are any side effects or risks, they are far and away less concerning than the disease that they prevent, period, end of story.
Absolutely.
So you recently actually commissioned a public opinion poll that I thought was really interesting on this. You found strong support for the availability of vaccines and continued development of new vaccines among the vast majority of Americans. Tell us more.
Absolutely. We surveyed American voters across the U.S. and 74% felt like that it should be a priority that we continue to have widespread access to FDA-approved vaccines in the U.S., and that the U.S. remain an innovator and a leader globally in the development of new vaccines. The vast majority of Americans listen to their healthcare provider and seek that advice about vaccinations and then follow through on those recommendations, including 88% of parents who had children under the age of 18 in their homes said they follow their healthcare provider's advice in getting their children vaccinated. And also almost 70% are concerned about those declining vaccination rates, particularly among children.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that any of that comes from a boomerang effect? And what I mean by that is, as people see the end result of lower vaccination rates with things like these completely preventable measles outbreaks, at least some people are maybe beginning to come around and finally get the message?
I think that it's sad, but you're absolutely right. As you see how widespread these cases are, how quickly measles spread, that it's serious. People are hospitalized. One in five children who contract measles will end up in the hospital with severe breathing issues. Pneumonia is a major complication. Brain swelling can also occur mm-hmm. with a severe case of measles. So it is not something you want to mess around with. Two doses of the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, and rubella, provide 97% protection against measles. And so the vaccine's been around for a long time. Safety studies done, very highly effective.
Yeah.
So it is the safest way to avoid getting measles and stay healthy.
With respect to the survey, you are also quick to point out, though, that this confidence remains a very fragile thing, and the mixed messages are still problematic.
Absolutely. Although we found that 88% of parents do follow through on their healthcare provider's advice in terms of vaccinating their children, for a disease like measles, the recommended level is 95% to avoid these outbreaks that we're seeing today. And we know in many of these communities where these outbreaks are occurring and really taking hold and spreading rapidly are where there is much lower vaccination rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of cases are among people who are unvaccinated. I mean, that should come as no surprise. But, and your point earlier about, you know, the boomerang effect,
mm-hmm.
Part of the success of vaccines is why we're seeing lower vaccination rates, because people have forgotten. You ask a grandparent, you ask someone who lived through this, you know, in the 50s, got measles, maybe had new people who had polio and other infectious diseases. They don't mess around. They know the effects of these diseases. But because vaccines have been so successful, our memory of how dangerous these diseases are has faded. And sadly, we're getting a clear reminder of that today with this measles outbreak.
And I'm guessing that the cautionary reminder, the alert about the mixed messages that are still out there, I'm guessing that is a thinly veiled reference to current leadership at HHS.
It The HHS leadership, CDC, continues to recommend vaccination. There are clear recommendations. People, the vast majority of people do follow through on those, but that mixed messaging certainly doesn't help. They're seeing in Texas, for example, there was a discussion about vitamin A, but now people are being hospitalized with measles and overdosing on vitamin A, if you will. They are seeing signs of, you know, potential liver damage, yellow skin. It's not, it's just because it's a vitamin and it's, doesn't mean it's safe in high doses. So you got to be careful with that.
And yet, just within the past week, it was reported that another noted anti-vaccine activist has been tapped to head a federal study on the already debunked and discredited link between vaccines and autism. How concerning is that to you, again, given that fragility of patient confidence that we were talking about?
It's highly concerning. Anytime you've got a scientific study where you're testing a hypothesis, you go in with an open mind. And the naming of someone who has a clear agenda and not perhaps that open mind that you would want for a scientific study, that, you know, the wealth of data over, I think there's over 24 studies that have looked at this question and all come to the same conclusion that there's no link between vaccination and autism. You know, why do we need to do this study in a time when we're cutting back on research otherwise, and government efficiency is the theme of the day, is one question. And then picking someone with a clear agenda to kind of lead the study, that's also raising alarm bells.
And by the way, on that subject, it is worth noting that Autism Speaks is among the members of the PFID task force, which clearly would not be the case if it were, in fact, there were any link between autism and vaccines. Again, Candace DeMatteis is Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Partnership to Fight Infectious Disease. Where can we learn more?
One thing that we are telling people, if you do have questions, and questions are certainly legitimate, ask your healthcare provider, ask someone who knows you and knows your family and someone you trust, and get your questions answered. Please do not go to, you know, the internet is the wild, wild west. You can find anything you want out there. That doesn't mean it's accurate. So lean in on those trusted sources. Your local health department is a great resource. Your own healthcare provider is the best resource. So we would strongly recommend that people look to those resources. If you have questions about your children, the American Academy of Pediatrics is a great resource. If you have questions about autism, Autism Speaks is an excellent resource. The Autism Science Foundation has a lot of research about autism, including vaccines, but otherwise as well. Mm-hmm. Fantastic resources, very credible. And that's where we would just strongly suggest that people lean in there.
Very good advice indeed. Candace, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Well, no fooling about this. We have something serious to talk about. The Findlay Municipal Court's annual Safe Surrender Day event is happening next week. This is another chance to take the weight of an unresolved legal issue off your shoulders. We are joined in the studio by Judges Alan Hackenberg and Stephanie Bishop, and thank you both for dropping by, as always. We certainly appreciate it. So, 8th annual Safe Surrender Day. By now, I would imagine that most people kind of know what this is all about, but for the benefit of those who are late to the party, what is Safe Surrender Day?
Well, good morning again. Thanks for having us on. And considering it's April 1st, I think our first one we did about 8 years ago may have actually been on April 1st, and that's why when we did our advertisement back then, we had to indicate that, no, this is not a joke.
Not a joke, so, yeah.
But obviously, Safe Surrender is an opportunity for someone who has an outstanding bench warrant to appear before the court without fear of going immediately to jail. Mm-hmm. They appear before the court. We match them with one of our team members. We get that bench warrant released. We get them reset to do whatever they need to do, whether that was go to a treatment program, complete some community service, simply to show up to hear their case, maybe resolve a case by way of a plea.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of different scenarios that could to play out. Does it always mean appearing in front of the judge? You mentioned that there are other staff members that may help with this. Is it
Yeah, it just depends on what type of warrant it is and what the reason the warrant was issued as to whether or not they need to appear in front of one of us. But we're both available for the day if they do need to appear in front of us to resolve whatever issue to recall that warrant. Yeah. But
what are some of the examples of warrants that could be resolved in an event like this, and maybe some that can't? Are there is there any scenario that you wouldn't be able to handle in one of these?
So the only scenario for a warrant that we are not able to handle is a warrant that we did not issue. So if the warrant has not generated from our court, we cannot assist an individual with that. Otherwise, any warrant that we've issued, we can help them with. So if they failed to appear for an arraignment, then we'll recall that warrant, go ahead and arraign them. If an individual didn't appear to serve their jail days, then they can have that warrant recalled, schedule their jail days to be served at whatever time is more convenient than when law enforcement's going to find them otherwise.
If the
warrant was because they didn't comply with treatment, they can get re-engaged in treatment, recall that warrant. So
that really speaks to the benefit for an offender in a case like this, because this is not a get out of jail free card. It's not like you're going to just wipe off a judgment or a ruling. In fact, you're not going to change a ruling in a case.
Correct. This is not a get out of jail card or a I don't have to do X, Y, or Z because I'm coming in this day. It's just simply a chance for them to reset that relationship with the court and get back into compliance with whatever they need to do. We still hold them accountable for what the original sentence was or what they need to appear for. We just give them the opportunity to say, hey, listen, I messed up, didn't show up, didn't do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to give I get another shot at this.
Because initially, you know, I can hear some people say, well, why is this a big deal if it's not going to, you know, alter the sentence or anything? But you don't have it hanging over your head.
Correct. Right. Yeah. You don't have it hanging over your head. So I think most of us probably don't understand what it's like to have a bench warrant for their arrest. However, an individual that does has probably altered their life a bit. And I'm sure it's quite stressful if you're worried about being picked up by law enforcement, even if you're pulled over for a traffic violation.
Right.
If somebody runs into you and it's not even your fault that there's an accident, come in contact with law enforcement, you're going to jail.
Yeah. So this kind of removes that or kind of resets that.
There are people who will just hide out knowing that they got a bench warrant if they have to serve X number of days in jail, and then they usually will show up on Safe Surrender Day, have that warrant cleared, get a new report date for jail. And we'll see if they show up. But we know there's a few individuals that like to show up yearly for this. So we're hoping, you know.
that's the other thing. I mean, clearly this is the eighth annual, so it's been successful. Talk a little bit about the success of something. Does it really work?
Well, we've moved it from a traditional day in usually late summer, early fall. A couple years ago, Welcome to a New Life asked if we would move our Safe Surrender event up to April, earlier in the year, April being Second Chance Month, and we were happy to get on board and support that. And so that was one of the initiatives that we did. We moved that to certainly work as a community to have this theme of second chance, and I'm sure Judge Bishop can speak to the success we've had.
Yeah, so in 2023, I believe that was the first year that we had moved it to April. In 2023, 74 individuals appeared for Safe Surrender Day, and we recalled 94 warrants. Some individuals have more than one warrant. And then in 2024, we assisted 49 individuals and had 58 warrants recalled. So
it's got to be good when I would imagine you know when someone really is looking for that second chance and to be able to provide that to someone.
Sure. We certainly want everyone to be successful. We want them to complete their sentence or get through that treatment or finish their community service so they are successful and so they can just move on from the court. They don't have to worry about us trying to keep holding them accountable. So no, we certainly want everyone to be successful, especially when we put people on probation.
We
match them with a probation officer, and we want them to use the probation officer as a resource to really help them through this time that they need those extra touches.
And you mentioned working with Welcome to a New Life to be able to actually set people on a better path. This could be a springboard to that.
So. Absolutely, yes. And individuals from Welcome to a New Life are always helpful with our probationers and the individuals that our staff gets in contact with welcome to a new life to assist whenever there's somebody that maybe could benefit from their additional assistance on top of probation.
Yeah. So the Safe Surrender Day is on Monday. How does this work and what do folks need to do?
So it's on Monday, April 7th from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. Walk-ins are welcome, so anybody can just walk in during that time. If you want to make an appointment, then that certainly is preferred, but you don't have to. If you would like to make an appointment, you can contact our clerk's office. The phone number is 419-424-7141.
And when folks arrive, will they need to bring anything, need to bring a lawyer, anything like that?
We will have the Hancock County Public Defender's Office present to assist those individuals who qualify for their assistance or maybe already have them representing them. If certainly they have an attorney already, they can certainly make arrangements to see if their attorney can meet them on Monday, April 7th, so we can hopefully get that case resolved. If they've got records to show that they've done things that we've asked them to do, they would be encouraged to bring whatever documentation that they have to show us that they have done X, Y, or Z.
And how do, this may be a strange thing, most people who have a warrant, a bench warrant issued probably are aware of this, but if not, how do people know?
Yeah, you would think that you would, but there are some individuals that really just have lost track of things, so I think that they probably do not know. So they can either check on our website, which is FinleyMunicipalCourt.com, click on the Safe Surrender event tab. It's on the left, and there's a link that you can follow to see whether or not you have a warrant. Or, again, you can contact the clerk's office and ask as well.
And by the way, these things don't expire. So
they don't.
Even if you think this is old enough that it's it can't possibly be on the books anymore.
Correct. There's no half-life rewards. Yeah. They're out there forever. So
what if will all of the cases be resolved on Monday? I mean, or are there some where you start the process and somebody may have to come back to finish things?
It depends. It's unlikely that all cases will be resolved on that day. If somebody's there for an arraignment, they may want a pretrial conference, so it may be set for a pretrial or future hearings.
But don't let that stop you from taking advantage of this.
Correct, because your warrant will be recalled, which is the important thing, and then the case will begin moving forward at that point.
Yeah. We've got a link on our webpage for more information about the Findlay Municipal Court's annual Safe Surrender Day event. Again, it is happening on Monday. And if you want more information, you can go to goodmornings.net for that. And again, Judges Alan Hackenberg, Stephanie Bishop with us this morning. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Information that makes a difference. Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Some people just should not be criminals. I mean, the life of crime is not for everyone. Case in point, Jeremiah McGallen. He's from Tyler, Texas. And he had to call police for help in the middle of an alleged robbery. According to police reports, Mr. McGallen allegedly cut himself on a pane of glass while breaking into the local Dodge dealership on March 26th. So last week, he breaks into the dealership by breaking one of the glass window panes, but then cut himself and ended up calling police around 3:35 in the morning because he was unable to leave the way he came in. He admitted that he had broken into the dealership in an attempt to steal a car, but was unable to get out of the building. Police, you know, because it's their job to protect and to serve, they responded, got him to a local hospital for treatment of his cuts, and then, of course, he has been safely lodged in the Smith County Jail. A staff member at the dealership reports that the only thing that they found missing was some candy from one of the salesperson's desks. So broke in with these grand plans to steal the car and then realized that he couldn't get out. So. Some people are just not cut out for a life of crime. You know, it's... But I don't know. Keep going, man. You'll get there eventually. You'll figure it out. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, this is an item that just screams April Fool's Day joke. I don't know if it is or not, but it just seems like this has got to be an April Fool's joke. An updated road design in Montgomery Township, Pennsylvania is making waves, quite literally making waves. According to the Montgomery Township Police Department, the street has been repainted as curved instead of straight. The roadway is still straight. It's the lines on the road that are curved. They call it a traffic calming measure due to the numerous complaints being received from residents about people driving too fast on the road. So they couldn't put a curve in the road. So what they did is they just painted wavy lines. After a lengthy discussion with our traffic engineers, highway safety officers, and public works officials, they decided to paint wavy lines to try and keep people from speeding. There is no word on whether the drivers themselves are actually following the wavy lines on the straight street, but I don't know. It's getting all kinds of... Doesn't that sound like an April Fool's joke? That can't be real, right? I don't know. But anyway. You got to be careful, because April Fool's Day, even legitimate news organizations can be sucked into a joke if you're not careful. I mean, it is being reported, so we'll assume that it's true. Let's see. What else is going on in the broken news? Three men in Miami are accused of selling fake wristbands to a local music festival. Christopher Duckett, Timothy Tedford, and Carlton Tedford are charged with an organized scheme to defraud and doing business without a license. They were arrested after two victims paid $1,200 for wristbands that would admit them to the Ultra Music Festival, but were later refused entry. I'm actually kind of surprised that didn't happen more often. I mean, wristbands are kind of generic, right? And I'm surprised that more people don't try and pull that off. This is all kinds of weird and a little gross. In Portland, Oregon, Alex Van Dyne and his neighbors have a bit of an issue. They are finding gallon-sized jugs of urine being left in their recycling bins. Somebody is leaving gallon jugs of urine in their recycling bins. The issue first came to Mr. Van Dyne's attention when he noticed that his recycling bins had not been collected on the collection day. In this particular community, they do a curbside recycling, but his recyclables had not been collected, and he couldn't understand why. Upon inspecting his recycling bin, he found six bottles of, and so you can understand why the recycling people would not take those. When Mr. Van Dyne stopped putting out his recycling bins, the individual, whoever this was, then started dropping his bottles in the bins of neighboring houses. Mr. Van Dyne says, "I don't know why he's hitting the same neighborhood so many times. Doesn't really make sense as to why he's doing this at all." They do know it is a man who is doing this, because Mr. Van Dyne did get a picture of the alleged culprit via a surveillance camera on his property, but he has not been able to spot the license plate of the car the person is driving. In the meantime, they have filed a police report. That's just weird. That's all kinds of weird in Portland, Oregon. What would possess someone to do that? And lastly, in the broken news this morning, You talk about weird stories, and there's got to be more to the story. I have no idea all of the details, but I would be fascinating to learn. A missing painting of President George Washington has been recovered by police in Colorado. It is a painting that is 200 years old. 200 years old painting of George Washington was reported stolen in January of last year. It was found abandoned in a Denver hotel room. A staff member at the hotel gave it to a man who was staying there, and he eventually returned it to police, who are still investigating the original theft. They have no idea how it ended up at the hotel. There's got to be a fascinating story behind that. Why this stolen 200-year-old painting of George Washington ended up abandoned in a hotel room in Denver, but then the way it found its way to police. I guess at the end of the day, the painting's been recovered, so that's good, but what's the story behind that? It's crazy. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
A worldwide organization that makes a difference.
I'm John LaRich with LaRich Chevrolet Cadillac. I am proud to be a Rotarian for many reasons, like our Polio Plus initiative. Since 1985, we've immunized over 3 billion children worldwide and have seen a reduction of cases by 99%.
To become part of an organization that will eradicate polio, consider joining the Findlay Rotary Club. It's easy and very rewarding. Go to FindlayRotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now, your daily download. The numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Apparently, this is a trend. 1 in 10 young adults are now scheduling worry time into their day. Actually setting aside time in their schedule to worry. This is a Talker Research survey of 2,000 Americans. They find those who do set aside time to fret say that the practice reduces the time that they spend worrying overall. It reduces the amount of time that they spend worrying overall. If they can kind of kudos to anybody can do this, because I don't know that it would be possible for me. I never really tried it, so maybe I should. But to compartmentalize the things that we are worrying about into a specific set time of the day, it's really an interesting idea. Unfortunately, 47% of respondents say it feels like they are in a constant state of worry. And this was much more common for younger respondents. Maybe this is why it is becoming more popular to try and schedule a worry time, because so many young adults say that they are constantly in a state of worry. 6 in 10, 62% of Generation Z and millennial respondents say that they are in, or it feels like they are in a constant state of worry, versus 38% of Gen Xers and baby boomers. And results of the survey found that the average respondent worries for about 2 hours and 18 minutes a day. 2 hours and 18 minutes. When asked when in the day they tend to worry the most, one-third say that they are worried when they are alone. 33% exactly said when they are alone is the time that that's when your mind starts racing and you start thinking about all of these things. 30% find themselves worrying right before they fall asleep. And others say that their worry tends to hit when they wake up in the morning. 17% said first thing in the morning, you start worrying. That's not the way you want to start your day. 12% say it's when they're getting ready for bed. But again, right before they go to sleep is kind of a very popular answer. When asked what they worry about, what do you worry about? The survey revealed that finances was number one. 53% said finances, the number one thing they worry about. Family issues, or worrying about their family, 42% is the second most common answer. And 42% said things that they need to take care of. whether it's work or personal stuff, whatever it might happen to be. 42% said things they need to take care of. Those are the top three worries. That was followed by their health. 37% cite worries about their health. 22%, I thought, said they worry about getting enough sleep, which, again, if you're worrying, the time you worry is when you are getting ready for bed or when you're going to sleep. I guess it follows that 22% would be worried about getting enough sleep. They're just adding, just pile it on. 19% said the current political situation is what they worry about. Over half of respondents surveyed are parents, and 77% of them said that they are worried about the world in which their child is growing up. So put that out there as well. Something that I think we're all, to one extent or another, worried about for our own kids and for everybody else's, for that matter, as well.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Open Arms Domestic Violence and Rape Crisis Services is in the spotlight this morning, and Rosanna Thornton is with us this morning. April, National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So, very important to highlight this with April upon us. And there are a number of services that you can provide to victims, those who have been touched by sexual assault. Tell us more.
Yes. So Open Arms, we serve anybody affected by domestic violence and sexual assault. We have six different types of programs and services that we offer to the community, from our 24-hour crisis hotline. We have our emergency shelter, which is safe and confidential. That's also 24/7. Mm-hmm. We also offer individual and group support, emergency room advocacy, legal advocacy. So we do a big wraparound when it comes to anybody who might be going through.
Yeah, I think the hotline and the shelter are the things that you are probably best known for, but the services go far beyond that.
Yes, yes. And we just want to make sure people are aware that, you know, we really do want to make sure that you get in touch with the right resources and that you receive the help that, you know, that you need.
Yeah, because this is obviously a very traumatic time. And the last thing that you want victims to have to do is try and figure out where to go for all of these services. You can be a one-stop shop, if you will.
Yeah.
Certainly makes recovery that much easier.
Yeah, we have amazing advocates at Open Arms, and we have amazing organization partners here in the community. So our advocates know what resources, if you need to get in touch with another nonprofit for additional resources, we're kind of like your middleman. We're your support system that can really help you out.
Yeah, thank goodness for that resource within the community. And this is something that everyone in the community certainly can support and get behind, really putting the call out for business owners to help you spread the message to reach individuals who may be in need.
Yes, so we're really reaching out to all the businesses in Findlay-Hancock County area to partner with us by displaying our free informational cling at their business. And these clings are 4x4, and they provide vital details about our services that we offer, and it includes a QR code that links directly to our help page on our website. So right there, you can see your options of how you want to connect to an advocate. If it's through our 24-hour crisis hotline, we also have text and chat services available, which sometimes that could be a little bit easier for someone to communicate with an advocate with.
Yeah, obviously a myriad of different situations that individuals may find themselves in, and being able to reach people where they are, where they need you most, is critical.
Exactly. So, yeah, that we're trying to really reach out to businesses, seeing if they can support us in that initiative.
And just to underscore the need and the importance of the services you provide at Open Arms, you have some statistics that I think will be eye-openers for people.
Yeah, just to kind of let you know, Open Arms last year, in 2024, we served a total of 9,964 individual services.
Wow.
So, yeah, a little bit of an increase right there. Mm-hmm. In 2024, last year, we served, just specifically in our rape crisis program, 272 individuals. And something that we did notice a little bit last year, that we have seen an increase in the number of teens reporting sexual assaults from other teens or family members. So that's about approximately a 50% increase and reports to our agency.
That, I guess there are a number of different ways that you can look at that. On the one hand, it's really sad to think of this being an issue for anyone within the community, mm-hmm. but good in the sense that you're actually hearing about it, that you're actually getting the reports that these individuals are stepping up and asking for help.
Yes, and you know, what's really great about Open Arms, as much as we help people who've been affected, we do a lot of prevention on our end as well. Mm-hmm. And so it could, you know, that increase could be more that they're aware of Open Arms services and right. the education that goes along with it. We have a prevention coordinator. She goes out to all the Hancock County schools, teaching on various topics when it comes to, you know, healthy dating, unhealthy dating, consent, boundaries, all those things that sometimes I wish I knew when I was a high school student.
Right, sure. And also, again, circling back to the awareness campaign and getting out to those area businesses and getting that information in front of folks so that they know that the services are available and how to reach out.
Yes, something simple like a clean could help save a life.
Absolutely. So if a business owner or a manager is listening and wants to help, how do they help spread that word?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me, Rosanna, at 419-420-9261. Just ask for me, and all I know is like how many clings you would like. I'd be happy to deliver them to you. They're free. I mean, this is just easy peasy of how you can help us out.
And for anyone who wants to learn more about the services you provide, or perhaps they or someone they know is in need, again, all of that information is on your website as well.
OpenArmsFinley.com. You can kind of see a rundown of all of our services that are available. You can follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at OpenArmsFinley, and you can kind of just see some helpful information along the way.
And information on other ways that you can help.
Correct.
There on the website as well. Again, Rosanna Thornton with Open Arms Domestic Violence and Rape Crisis Services in the spotlight, National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Rosanna, thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that is goodmornings.net, where you can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Our little corner of the World Wide Web, we love for you to drop by and visit. Again, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, starting off Financial Literacy Awareness Month by making you aware of some of the financial literacy lessons that many of us apparently have yet to learn. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.